The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, 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 golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher alongside Alan Flores, back again to bring you another NFL Straight Cast podcast for week 6 of the 2018 NFL season. We're here to break down the full Sunday slate, Sunday night, Monday night delight. We got the Niners taking on the Packers. We got the Raiders going hop skip across the pond taking on the Seahawks in London. We've got every single game covered for you right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network. Me, myself, Marcus Boucher, my partner Alan Flores. And before we get started, Randy, let these people know what time it is.
Straight Cast, homie.
That's right. It's time for the Straight Cast podcast right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network. And let's not waste any more time. Since it is the Bay's Golden Days podcast, let's go ahead and start off with the Bay Area. And I got to explain myself because you might think, and Marcus, where was the Raiders recap this week? Well, hey, let me explain myself. Let me explain. Your boy came down with a little bit of the flu this week. I was sick, had a sore throat. I was going to record, had a stuffy nose, itchy throat, and I sounded like a crackhead coming straight off the pipe. I did not want to record at all. So I said, hey, let me wait until Thursday, meet up with my boy Alan Flores, and give you a full Raiders recap right here on the Straight Cash podcast. So let's go ahead and talk about what happened last week against the Chargers. The Raiders didn't show up, so I didn't show up for the podcast. It's as simple as that. There's my recap for you. I mean, everything that could have went wrong this past weekend against the Chargers went wrong. From Donald Penn being hurt, KO being hurt, to Martavis Bryant getting a 40-yard slant and then fumbling the ball, to not giving Marshawn Lynch the ball on the one-yard line. I mean, God, you guys are lucky I didn't give you a full Raiders recap podcast this week, because man, oh man, was it just a terrible game to watch. I was in LA. I was going to go to this Chargers game, but I refused to step into the soccer stadium, even though it was overtaken by full force Raider Nation. The Raider Nation was loud. They showed up in full force, but the Raiders did not show up. Derek Carr did not show up. John Gruden did not show up, and they're going to have to show up this weekend when they go across the pond to London to take on the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are technically the road team. They gave up this home game, the Raiders did, because of course Mark Davis doesn't care about Oakland. He doesn't care if you play in Mexico, London. Hell, I thought this would have been cool for the Seattle fans alone just to see Marshawn Lynch one more time while he's still playing, because they still got love for Beast Mode, and I still got love for Beast Mode this game, because as I said on our last podcast, before last week at least, Marshawn Lynch was a top five rusher in the NFL, and he's going to have a full revenge game against a team that didn't give him the ball on the one-yard line. Hell, now we're the team that didn't give him the ball on the one-yard line. He said it last week. He said, it's happened to me on the biggest stage. It's happened to me in the regular season. This is just another game where Marshawn Lynch did not get the ball at the one-yard line, but the Raiders have to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. They got to control the time of possession, and they got to control the rock. They are the underdogs by 2.5 points this weekend against the Seahawks. The Seahawks almost took out the Rams last week. They lost 33-31. They're now 2-3 on the year. This is going to be an interesting game because there's no defense. There's no Legion of Boom. There's no Richard Sherman. There's no more Earl Thomas. He's hurt, so I'm expecting a very, very high-scoring game. The over-under is only set at 47.5, Al. I think both of these offenses could put up damn near 30 a game no matter what, but if the Raiders control the clock with Marshawn Lynch, I think they can get the lead, and I think they can win this game, and I think they cover that 2.5-plus spread. I think they get the job this week in London. Look for Marshawn Lynch to have a revenge game. Carl Joseph is back in practice. We could get KO back. I think the Raiders control the trenches, control the time, and they ultimately get the W this weekend in London against the Seahawks, plus the 2.5 points.
What is up, everybody? Yeah, you know, I gotta say, this game in London, I'm not digging it. If we look back, every time there's a London game, it's not really that good. It's pretty boring, or one team is getting shut out. I don't like it. I don't know. I do see the Seahawks winning this game. As far as them being close to the Rams, that was a pretty good game. It really was. Tyler Lockett, big deep ball. What else is he known for other than returning? Now, they're also missing their tight end, Nick Vannett. He has been missing in practice lately. That's another weapon that Russell Wilson does not have. Now, I want to talk about this line real quick. last week, if you guys recall, I was kind of dogging this line. Now, a little statistic I fucking read is ever since Ethan Posick has been injured, Sweezy took over. Now, before Sweezy took over, they were averaging 69 yards a game. Now they're averaging 164 without that guy. I was wrong, everybody. This line might actually be redeeming themselves. Raiders defense, they got Carl Joseph back, so I do expect him to see a lot of tackles. I do expect him to see a blitzing sack, Charles Woodson style. But we shall see this line take over the Raiders. We've seen Chubb. We've seen Hyde. We've seen other running backs going off on him. This could be the time the Seahawks do it too.
Yeah, we saw early in the year the rookie Nick Chubb bust off a couple big runs. We'll see if Rashard Penny, another rookie out of San Diego State, has that same success against the Raiders. As you said, that offense line has been progressed. And when you got Russell Wilson, you basically have a chance because we've mentioned before, Russell Wilson is his offense. Hell, at this point, Russell Wilson is the team. So Russell Wilson can put up points. You just saw him put up 31 this week against his Rams defense. So that's why I like the over. Allen likes the Seahawks. I like the Raiders. As Allen said, these games in London have been pretty despicable. I mean, the average margin of victory in last year's international games was 26 points. So we could get a blowout. Hell, maybe the Raiders just don't even show up this weekend. We saw it last week in LA. They did not show up at all, but I'm hoping for a close game. And I think the Raiders ultimately get the job done by the 2.5 points. Looks like we're going to have to agree to disagree to kick off this podcast. But here's something we can agree on. Monday Night Football, the Niners versus the Packers. And why are the Niners in Monday Night? I know we agree about that, Al.
Oh my God, say no more.
Yes, say no more. The Niners already got flexed next week from Sunday Night Football to early in the game. I guess you can't flex Monday Night games, but it's going to be time for C.J. Beathard to flex on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Does he got a chance? They are the 9.5-point underdogs. The Packers are favored by almost 10 points at home. The Packers, pretty disappointing. Only 2-2 on the year, 2-3 against the spread. The 49ers, we told you they were going to lose last week, and guess what? They lost. But we'll get more into that when we get to the Cardinals game. They're now 1-4 on the year. The over-under is set at 46.5. We saw the Niners put up a decent amount of points. Kyle Shanahan is always going to scheme for an offense to put up some points. But the Green Bay Packers, they're going to put up more and more and more points. And you guys know how I feel about this double-digit point spread. You know, it's a little sketchy, but it is Aaron Rodgers. It's Packers bouncing back. I'm looking for a money line lock of the week. I guarantee you the Packers will win. Those 9.5 points are a little sketch, but I think this will be a high-scoring game. And I think at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is going to take off in the fourth quarter, and the Niners are not going to be able to keep up. So I got faith taking the Packers over the 49ers this week.
I am taking the Niners on the spread. I will not say the Niners are winning. Packers are definitely going to win. But I'm taking the Niners because, as a personal experience, Packers will fuck you. 1 point last week, Marcus. 1 point, and we couldn't get that. That was very disappointing, and I'm never taking the Packers again as a personal opinion. So I am taking the Niners. I do see a shootout. I really do. Beathard, surprisingly, him and Kittle, nice little duo. And I do see the Packers, they could be running all over the Niners because who doesn't run all over the Niners? They've been doing that the past 2 or 3 years. But one thing I want to point out is Richard Sherman. Wasn't he injured like 2 weeks ago or something like that? And last week, he was targeted twice and no completions. They don't want him. They really don't. Well, will Aaron Rodgers try the man? He's tried him before, but will he try him now on the Niners?
Against the Niners, Richard Sherman is getting back to full health. Devontae Adams is getting back to full health. So that is definitely going to be a matchup that I'm going to keep an eye on. But I like the way you're leaning there, Alan. Like I said, I like the Packers in the money line. If you're going to go with the points, the Niners might be the smarter pick. The Niners are 7-4 against the spread in road games under coach Kyle Shanahan. So, hey, they got a chance. If they can just keep this close, 9.5 points is a lot. But like I said, I like the money line. But the Niners, we might have to take them with the points this week. But let me tell you about a team that we took with the points last week who beat the Niners, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. We called the upset right here on the Bay's Golden Day Straight Cash Podcast. We said take the Cardinals, and they got their first win of the season to improve to 1-4, and they're 3-2 against the spread. Better betters than they are better players. But this week, they're going to have to go into Minnesota, where another upset from last week won, where we told you right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network, the Straight Cash Podcast, that the Vikings were going to upset the Eagles. And surprise, surprise, they did. They beat the Eagles 23-21. Oh, man. It feels good to be right. Let me just start there. But about this game, the Vikings are favored by 10.5 points. This is one of those huge point spreads where I like the Vikings. I like the money line. I'm locking it in for the week. But I don't know if I could take those points because the Vikings, we've seen them collapse against the Bills this year. We've seen them just absolutely not show up this year. I think this might be a closer game than a 10-point spread, so the smart bet might be the Cardinals and the points. Looking at the under here, I don't think it's going to be that high scoring, even though Minnesota is 13-5-1 against the spread under Coach Mike Zimmer when facing a team with a losing record. I think the Vikings get the win, but those 10.5 points scare me. What do you think, Al?
I'm going to take it, and I'm going to tell you, you know, Dalvin Cook being upgraded to full practice kind of helps the situation. You know, they finally get to spread the ball. You know, their running backs haven't really been doing much as far as I've seen. Cardinals, they're putting in a lot of faith in David Johnson still, which I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't know why everyone's fucking doubting this guy. So disrespectful. But I do see the Vikings covering 10.5. They finally getting back on track. Their defense is probably going to be doing a lot better, especially playing against Josh Rosen. I see this spread being covered.
Yeah, the Vikings defense definitely stepped up last week. We saw they had a couple defensive touchdowns. This could be a game where it's a shutout by the Vikings. I like the way you're thinking with the points there, but I'm going to go ahead with the money line. Stay away from the points in general. I like the Vikings and the money line to take out the Cardinals. But, hey, if you're feeling a little frisky, go ahead and take the points. And we both like the under. It's probably going to be a low-scoring game. Both these defenses, at least the Arizona Cardinals, they still got defense. They still got Chandler Jones, still got Patrick Peterson, still got my boy Buda Baker in the backfield. So I think this will be a low-scoring run game. Go for the under and go for the Vikings for sure on the money line. Moving on to our next game, we got the Chargers going into Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Browns. Don't look now, but the Cleveland Browns won again. Are they reopening the refrigerators? Where's the beer at? The Cleveland Browns beat the Ravens 12-9 in a game where it makes no sense to me, but that's pretty much the whole entire AFC North. It seems like anybody could beat anybody at any given Sunday. You know that for sure, Alan. Yeah. Well, they're going to have their chance to take out the Los Angeles Chargers this upcoming week after they beat the Raiders 26-20. The Chargers are favored by 1.5 in this game. The Browns, they've been playing great. So great. They got guys like Snoop Dogg leaving the Steelers to come bandwagon with Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson said, no, stay away. Get off the bandwagon. We only got room for Baker Mayfield and the boys. They ain't got no room for nobody else. But I think the bandwagon is put on a halt this week. Obviously, the Chargers are one of the highest scoring teams in the league. We saw what they did to the Raiders last week. They're only favored by 1.5 points. I know the Browns' hype right now is high, but not that high where you're only giving up 1.5. I think this is either too good to be true or it's fool's gold and Phillip Rivers is going to go out there, put on a show, but they're going to start missing kicks again. I mean, I'm not wrong. I think it was the Chargers who was the last win the Browns had 2 years ago before they went on this 0-32 streak. The Chargers are known for choking, so you never know. But this almost seems too good to be true, taking Phillip Rivers in what is probably his best career year, only 1.5 over the Browns. Is this too good to be true, Al?
No. I'm taking the Chargers on this. You know, the Browns, let me just say, I never thought ever in my life that we would be below the Browns at some point in our division. I'm flabbergasted right now. So I don't know what to think on that. But, you know, let me tell you, Duke Johnson over here, he's been complaining about no carries. You know, I kind of feel him. But what do you expect? They signed Carlos Hyde. Chubb is breaking fucking touchdowns all of a sudden.
Shit, Chubb's only getting 3, 4, 5 carries a game. He should be complaining about carries.
Yeah, just stick to your pass rating. You know, you get your passing. Be the third down back. But I do see the Chargers, you know, winning this game. I mean, shit, they just signed a free agent kicker, Mike Baldgley, if I'm pronouncing his name right. He might just be the hero of the fucking game. Who knows? But, yeah, Browns, sorry, but the hype is over.
Yeah, maybe if this is one of those huge point spreads where you give it up 10 points or whatever, because that's usually where the Browns point spread is, but the hype is just too high right now on the Cleveland Browns. And get this, Cleveland is 0-13 against the spread under coach Hugh Jackson versus defenses that are allowing a completion percentage of less than 64%. So I know the Chargers defense hasn't been great this year, but Casey Hayward, he'll have these clamps on Jarvis Landry. We saw Amari Cooper only got one target last week against Casey Hayward. This Chargers defense is underrated. They could be getting Joey Bosa back sooner than rather than later. I think, like we said, this is almost too good to be true. I definitely like the Chargers as one of my favorite bets of the week. Take the Chargers by 1.5 over the Cleveland Browns. Moving on, we got the Chicago Bears taking on the Miami Dolphins. The Bears are favored by 3 points in this game with the over-under set at 42.5. The Bears, I think it's as simple as this. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins. Now, you usually would only need a week, maybe a couple of days. Hell, maybe you could just roll out there fresh out of bed and probably be prepared enough to beat the Miami Dolphins. They started off 3-0 this year, then lose two straight games. They're obviously not the team they were when they started the year 3-0. Are they as bad as they are these last two games after losing to the Bengals 27-17? I mean, we gave you the Bengals last week as one of our locks of the week. The first half was scary. When the Dolphins went up 17-0, but then, you know, the Bengals come back, put up 27 unanswered points. I just don't think Miami has enough talent in general. Chicago has struggled on the road this year. They scored 28 points per game at home versus 19 points on the road. But I think when you have 2 weeks to prepare, when you got the Bears playing as well as they had, shit, Trubisky had 6 touchdowns a week or two ago. Khalil Mack is playing like a monster. I don't even need to get into the Khalil Mack situation. The Dolphins, I think they're going to struggle. They are getting DeVante Parker back, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I have the Bears taking out the Miami Dolphins by 3 points.
Fully agree. Fully agree. You know, let's just talk about the Dolphins real quick. They are 30th, ranked 30th in yards per game. Chicago's defense is probably going to take Tannehill out and just straight fuck him in the ass, okay? Like, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. Chicago's defense has been doing their job enough for them to win. I mean, they're 3-1. I could see them definitely covering this spread. And the bigger question is, will Cohen eventually be the lead back? That's what I want to know. Jordan Howard, he says he's fine with the role he's in. But is he? You let the Cohen, the third down back, just straight take over? I don't know. Either way, I do see the Bears taking over this game. This is probably a for sure lock in my book.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Jordan Howard has got to get more involved in his offense. I mean, they won when Trubisky had that 6-touchdown game, but then Jordan Howard only had, what, 5-10 carries? How do you win the game by over 30 points and you only give your lead running back 10 carries in a game where you're absolutely dominating? The Bears have got to control the time of possession, let Khalil Mack breathe down Ryan Tannehill's neck, and I should have no problem taking the Bears minus 3 points this weekend. Moving on to our next matchup, we got the Carolina Panthers going into Washington to take on Alex Smith and the Washington Redskins. The Redskins coming off that Monday night loss to the Saints where they got absolutely demolished 43-19. They are banged up with a few injuries. AP with his shoulder slash ankle. He should be ready to go, but that is definitely something to keep an eye on. They could be getting Josh Doxson back, so that could be good for the offense, but their offense is going to need everybody this weekend to keep up with this high-powered Carolina Panthers offense who might be getting Greg Olsen back this week. I mentioned it on our podcast last week that he practiced. They are expecting him to play this weekend. I think that's going to be even bigger for the Carolina Panthers because the Redskins are favored by 1 point in this game. I don't understand it. The Panthers came off a bye week, beat the Giants 33-31. They're 3-1 on the year. The Washington Redskins are 2-2. The Redskins are the 1 point favorite. Now, I've mentioned this a few times on my podcast before, a nice little betting insider tip. The home team usually gets 3 points automatically. So what Vegas really thinks is that the Panthers should be favored by 2 points in this game. But because it's in Washington, they're going to give Washington that 1 point. So at the end of the day, I don't care if you take the Panthers plus one. I don't care if you take the Panthers on the money line. Do whatever you got to do because I think the Panthers are going to win regardless. They should be the favorite in this game. I don't know how they're not. Christian McCaffrey is breaking out this year. Cam Newton is looking elite, if I dare say it. Luke Kuechly and his defense is coming around. Man, oh man, I like what the Carolina Panthers are doing this year, and I have no problem at all taking them plus 1 points against the Redskins.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Panthers are going to take this, but I do want to say this is a Redskins versus Panthers. So my question to this is, will Josh Norman redeem himself and know better than his former team? That is going to be a high question. He just might start a fight. Who knows? But I do take the Panthers at plus one.
Yeah, that's a good point about Josh Norman playing against his former team, the Carolina Panthers. And we all think Josh Norman, shut down corner, lockdown corner. Get this. Quarterbacks passing on Josh Norman this year have a perfect 153 passer rating. How disrespectful. What's happened to Josh Norman, Al? Quarterbacks have a perfect rating passing against him. Cam Newton should tear his ass up this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You would think so after that horrible statistic. But again, this is the Panthers. He could have a little bit of hate in him, and he just might say, fuck this. If I'm going to show out now, I'm going to show out now.
Yeah, we could definitely see that doing it. At the end of the day, I think this is going to be a shootout. The over-under is set at 45. I don't even think that's that high of a total. I think the Panthers could almost cover this by themselves. They're one of the teams that could put up 30 points a game. And get this, the Washington Redskins are 1-8 against the spread versus defenses, allowing a completion percentage of 61% since the start of 2017. And the over-under, the over has hit 13 out of 15 times. Washington has faced a team that has averaged at least 350 yards per game since the start of the 2016 season. Add on top of that the Redskins are coming off a short week off Monday Night Football. I don't think there's any luck in their favor. I think the Panthers blitz them. This is one of my favorite bets of the week. Go ahead and lock in the Panthers to beat the Redskins plus 1 point. Going on to our next matchup of the week, we got the Colts taking on the Jets. The Jets got a big W over the Broncos. I told you take the Jets. Allen told you take the Broncos. We'll let Allen defend himself in 1 minute, but they got a huge win over the Broncos, 34-16. This defense has been playing pretty lights out this year with Jamal Adams in the backfield. They'll be taking on the Colts and Andrew Luck, where they are favored by 2.5 points. This is an interesting game for me because Andrew Luck is almost better on the road. I don't know how their team is putting up more points per game on the road. And the Indianapolis Colts are 7-0 in October games where the Colts have played on the road since the start of 2016. So I don't know how they play so well on the road. They are banged up this week with no T.Y. Hilton, no Jack Doyle. They're already ruled out for the week. But, hey, the Jets are pretty beat up, too. Two of their top three corners are going to be out from the game. That's Tremaine Johnson and Buster Skrine. So they're going to be playing a couple men down, too. And at the end of the day, I might just have to stick with Andrew Luck over Sam Darnold. It's as simple as that. You're going to give me Andrew Luck plus 2.5 points. Plus the Colts are 8-2 against the spread when coming off a double-digit loss. I think they bounce back this week with Andrew Luck and get a win in New York. Give me the Colts as the underdogs plus 2.5 points.
Well, all I can say is I'm sorry, people. That's all I'm going to say. I don't have an excuse. You know, I thought the Broncos would pull it off. They played a good game against the Chiefs, but it is what it is. We're on week 6. So I will also take the Colts, you know. You cannot take Andrew Luck against the Jets. Why would you not do that? Come on. Come on. Either way, just like Marcus said, the Jets' defense is pretty banged up. Well, allow me to give you a little thing about Indianapolis' defense. We got Darius Leonard, Malik Hooker, and Clayton Gathers all active for the defense. This could be an advantage due to Andrew Luck having a huge game against this broken down defense, while this Colts defense might just stop Sam Darnold.
Yeah, this Colts defense is getting healthier. We saw on Thursday Night Football against Tom Brady, they only suited up 44 players. By the end of the game, they only had 40 left on the roster. I mean, this was a team that was literally falling apart, and now because of that Thursday Night game, they have 3 extra days of rest. That's 10 days to prepare for the rookie. I like where you're headed with that one, Al. The defense should be better from the Colts. I think this should be a pretty high-scoring game, though. We've seen the Jets put up 34 on the Broncos last week. That's a better defense than the Colts. I think because of Andrew Luck putting up points, this is set at 45.5. I might just have to take the over. Where are you at on that, L?
I will definitely take that. I will, honestly. I actually changed my mind because we also want to say that Crowell might be iffy, but Powell is a beast. I feel like he's going to get 2 tugs just off of rushing. I'm predicting that. Take that in my book.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Crowell, he came out last week and said, hey, this was all because of the offensive line. I got 2 touchdowns because of the offensive line. All credit goes to them. So at the end of the day, there could be some points in this matchup, but we're sticking with Andrew Luck and the Colts to get the W plus 2.5 points. Moving on to our next game of the week is the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Cincinnati Bengals. And man, oh man, I know Allen is waiting to talk about this one as the Pittsburgh Steelers absolutely blitzed the Falcons last week, 41-17. Oh my goodness, where was this Falcons offense? Where was this Falcons defense? Hell, we told you they were injured and banged up. So was this Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I thought this Falcons team was going to be able to put up more points. Hell, the Steelers almost covered the over for us by themselves. Luckily, the Falcons were able to put up 17, and we got you to hit on that over. But the Steelers defense should be improving back in this AFC North division game. Middle linebacker Vince Williams could be back. That's been a huge point of emphasis for this Pittsburgh Steelers defense is over the middle. Everybody's been picking them apart. The Bengals don't have Tyler Eifert anymore, so that's not big of a deal. But AJ Green on the outside, the Cincinnati Bengals offense has been playing on fire this year. Hell, we saw saw him start off last week against the Dolphins and then put up 27 unanswered points. I still can't believe the Bengals are 4-1 this year. They're 4-1 against the spread, and they're 4-1 on the over-unders. The over is set at 53. I think this is a high-scoring matchup. I'm not sure how high, because the AFC North, it seems like it's either close games or blowouts. I mean, Alan, give me some insider information. What do you got going here for the Steelers going into Cincinnati and taking on the Bengals this weekend? Plus 2.5 points.
Well, I must say, I don't think they beat us last season, right? I think it was a sweep with them as well. So I feel like we're going to do it again. Last week, I was very surprised. I thought it would be a shootout as well. Like you said, we practically did it ourselves, 41-17. I like it. You know, Vince Williams, he's a full participant today. And I do like Juju and AB to go off on this fucking Bengals defense. It is going to be a problem with A.J. Green. Like you said, it may not be Eifert, but they still got A.J. Green. They still got Tyler Boyd. They still got John Ross. They still got Joe Mixon. Bernard might be questionable. So it's going to be a big offensive game. And I do love the Steelers to win. You know I'm always going to pick them. I'm never going to pick them. I don't know if I would take them in a parlay. You know, that's just me. But, yeah, if you are going to take them in a parlay, take that fucking spread.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers plus 2.5 points. There's not too many opportunities where the Steelers are the underdogs. I mean, I just don't get it at this point in time of the season. I know the Bengals are 4-1, but I still think the Pittsburgh Steelers are the better football team at the end of the day. So I'll go ahead and take the Steelers plus 2.5 points, no doubt about it. And get this, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 13-3-2 against the spread in road games, playing against Cincinnati since the start of the 2002 season. So they have completely dominated the Bengals. As Alan said, it was a season sweep last year, and the Steelers, it's been a one-sided rivalry. They have straight dominated. Marvin Lewis has not been getting the job done for the Bengals. I'm still surprised he's still around, but at the end of the day, we both like the Steelers.
Love it. Love it.
Moving on next, we'll go ahead and talk about the team that lost to the Steelers last week. The Falcons took on the Steelers and lost 41-17. They'll be taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this is probably going to be one of the closest games of the week, because once we thought we had all the Fitzmagic in the bag, that's out the window. Jameis Winston is back. Jameis Winston is the starter. And man, oh man, what are we supposed to expect? I mean, the Buccaneers offense, the first couple weeks, they're one of the highest powered offenses in the league. And then they bench their quarterback. I mean, I just don't get it. This offense should be pretty good, if not at their full potential this week, because obviously if you think Jameis Winston is better than Fitz, you're in a better spot. Ronald Jones, the rookie out of USC, he's getting his first start at running back this week. They're coming off their bye week, and they're tied in. O.J. Howard, he was supposed to miss 2 to 4 weeks. He might be back only after his second week of injury. I mean, the Buccaneers, they got healthy over this bye week. They got 2 weeks to prepare for the Atlanta Falcons. I like this Falcons offense, but I hate their defense. So I don't know if they can cover this 3.5-point spread, because the Falcons are 1-4 now. They're 1-4 against the spread. This might just come down to a game where whoever has the ball last, whoever gets a field goal last, I think this might cover the over set at 57.5 points. That's a lot of points, but I could see the winner winning this game 35-27 or something crazy like that. I just don't know. Alan, where do you stand in this high-scoring, two high-power offenses? Who do you got? The Falcons by 3.5 points? Or the Buccaneers for the upset?
If I had to pick, I'm taking the Buccaneers for the upset. But in my personal opinion, stay away from this one. This one sounds like it's just a trap game. First of all, are we going to see any TDs from Julio? Is there going to be any TDs from this guy? I mean, Jesus Christ. And let me talk about the Bucs defense real quick. They haven't had any running back run no more than 65 yards. Will this Falcons fully active offensive running back squad, will they get to 100 yards, 70 yards? Will they get past 65 is the question. That's what I want to know. And I'm actually excited that O.J. Howard is back. That's a quick little fantasy statement, because that's pretty surprising after a 2-4 week injury. That's going to be great. But yeah, trap game for me. Stay away from this game. But for those that do take it, take the Bucks in the underdogs.
Yeah, Al, I like where you're going with that one. This is definitely one of the harder games to pick of. If this was a straight-up first game of the season, I'm taking the Falcons any day of the week. But the Buccaneers now getting their franchise quarterback back, getting their first overall pick back, getting their potential starting tight end back, and having 2 weeks to prepare for this defense that they literally have no one left. There's no Deion Jones. There's no Keanu Neal. There's nobody left on his Falcons defense. So I like the over 57 points. And as Alan said, it might just be smarter to take the team with the points because whoever has the ball last could win. So why not protect yourself with a 3.5? So even if you lose by a field goal against the Falcons, you're still winning right here on the Bay's Golden Days. And let's keep it moving now. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans. This should be the opposite of a barn burner. Hell, there should be no smoke, no fire. It should just be slow, easy, smooth football. I definitely like the under in this matchup. It's set at 41 points. The Texans and the Bills, I mean, what do you even expect out of these two teams at point? They're both sitting at 2-3. The Bills are 2-3 against the spread, while the Texans are 1-3-1 against the spread. I mean, there's just nothing you can do here. I mean, who do you pick? Do you go with the Texans because they're favored by 10 points? Hell no. I'm not taking the Texans in 10 points the way they've played this year. So, I mean, if you want to take the points, the smarter bet would probably be the Bills plus 10 just to keep it close. But I just want to take the Texans on the money line if you're going to touch this at all. I don't like the point spread at all. They got the job done against the Cowboys last week, but it was close. Only got the dub by 3 points. I think they win ultimately against the Bills, but I don't see it happening by double digits. Do you, Al?
No, I don't. Absolutely not. And the one thing I want to bring up is that why are people dogging the Bills that bad? Like, I know they had a slow start, but both these teams are 2-3. Who's going to reach 500 this week? You know, the Bills, they're inconsistent. That's what they are. Doesn't mean that they're shitty. I know there's definitely worse teams than the Bills, but the one thing I want to talk about is the Bills that crazy to even talk about trading Shady McCoy? I don't think they should do that at all.
Yeah, I could see it happening because they might not perform that bad. They got another rookie quarterback, but they're not winning their division. They're not taking out the Patriots. They're not going to make it to the playoffs, not with this start. I just don't think they have enough overall talent on this roster. So why not trade Shady and try to get something for him while he still has a little bit of value?
Good point, good point. I mean, in my personal opinion still, he's the best offensive player to me. So you might as well just keep him for this season. You know, work itself out next year, but don't trade him. You know, don't waste your season completely. You know, you got a rookie quarterback who needs a little bit of veteran help, and who better than LeSean McCoy than anyone on that team? You're not going to get it from Kelvin Benjamin. He's not really gotten that veteran mode yet. But as far, you know, the Texans, they barely beat the Cowgirls. Their defense is trash anyway, and they barely beat them. So I do not see the spread at all. I would take the Bills for sure.
Yeah, the plus 10 points is just too much for my taste. As we said, the Texans have been in close games all year long, and the Texans are 1-5-1 against the spread when coming off a win by fewer than 7 points since the start of the 2016 season. So, hey, they don't got great numbers against the spread, and they just don't have great numbers at all this year. They got to do a better job protecting Deshaun Watson. This offense should be a lot better. Lamar Miller hasn't done anything in the backfield. They are getting their second-year rookie out of Texas back, Dante Foreman, week 7, week 8, I believe. So this Texans often should turn it around. I like for them to win against the Bills, but I'm not touching that 10-point spread. Go ahead and take the Texans and the money line. Or if you're all about the point spreads, go ahead and roll the dice with the Bills plus 10 to keep it close. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now to another high-scoring game predicted by Vegas. The Broncos and the Rams are having a game in Mile High where we might get our first snow game of the year. Yes, you heard me right. The blizzards might be coming into Mile High. That's why I don't like this 52-point over-under. The Rams are favored by 7 points. I definitely think the Rams can win, and I definitely think the Rams can win by a touchdown, but 52 points, we know the Rams are high-powered. They could easily put up 30, 40 points a game, but like I said, with the snow, that's going to slow down these boys from LA just a little bit. Case Keenum and the Broncos, I don't got faith for them to put up more than double digits against this Rams defense, so I don't like the over in this one. It's set pretty high at 52.5. I'm circling the under, and I'm taking the Rams to win this game by 7 points.
Yeah, the spread, I would take the Rams for sure. The points, that's pretty high, you know. The only things I could think of that would cover this is the fact that, like you said, LA is going to be a little backed out from the cold, so that could go both ways, offense and defense. Therefore, Denver might have a slight advantage, offense and defense. Will this be a 5-0 record turning into 6-0? Or will Denver take that first loss against the Rams? Who knows? Now, I do hear that Cooks and Coop are back. This could be a game changer, of course. You know, you can't do it just with Woods. You know, Goff has just been killing it with all three of them. This is also going to be Lindsey's biggest test. You know, I say Lindsey because, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Marcus, but he's been out touching Royce Freeman. He's just been looking better. I mean, he is looking like a hungry runner. But this Rams defense, other than the Jacksonville, this could be the biggest test for Lindsey.
Yeah, I think Lindsey will definitely have a better day fantasy-wise over Royce Freeman just because the game script alone. They're going to be playing catch-up the whole entire game because this Los Angeles Rams offense, I've talked about them before on this podcast. I think they're one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in the league. They're so high power, and they're now 5-0 to start the season. That's the first time the Rams have started out 5-0 since the 2001 Greatest Show on Turf Rams did it back in 2001. So, I mean, the Rams are full stride right now. I expect them to win. I'll take them +7. I like the under in this one. And get this, the Denver Broncos are 0-9 against the spread when facing a team averaging 235 or more passing yards a game since the beginning of 2017. We've all seen Jared Goff. Hell, he had 5-6 touchdowns just a week ago himself. Then the Denver Broncos, they're the only team in the NFL that's in the bottom 10 of offense and the bottom 10 of scoring defense, too, at the same damn time. So I don't like the Donkeys at all at Mile High. They could be getting a snowstorm to try to slow down Todd Gurley, but at the end of the day, I think Jared Goff gets the job done, -7 points. Moving on to our next game of the week, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Dallas Cowboys. The Jaguars are favored by 2.5 points, and the over-under is set at 40.5. Now, these are two teams where their defenses have actually been way outperforming their offenses. Obviously, you think that when it comes to the Jaguars. Some people don't expect that when it comes to the Cowboys, especially without Sean Lee, but Jalen Smith has been playing great over the middle. Byron Jones on the outside has been one of the lockdown corners in this league. This Dallas Cowboys defense has been a little bit underrated, kind of sneaking in games, but Dak Prescott can't get the 21 points, can't win him a game. We saw Ezekiel Elliott finally break out this past week, but hey, what are you supposed to do when your quarterback can't throw the ball 15 yards down the field and then he's going to be trying to score on this Jacksonville Jaguars defense who did let up 30 points last week against the Chiefs, but I don't even know what to think anymore because it seems like everybody is putting up points with these new goddamn rules in the NFL. All these average quarterbacks are putting up Hall of Fame numbers. No one can hit each other over the middle. So if you have a good defense, does it even stop anybody in today's NFL? I don't know. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know about this game, but one thing that I do know is that this is probably going to be a low-scoring game. I don't think either of these teams are going to go off, put up 30 points, even close to that 21-24 mark. So I like the under hitting at 40.5 points. I can see the Jaguars beating them 2017, hell, 2014, get about 35, 38 total points in this game, but I don't see them going over that 40-point mark. And at the end of the day, I might just have to stick with the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. I know it's tough trusting Blake Bortles, but you can't really trust Dak Prescott right now either, right, Al?
That is totally right. This game is just going to look ugly offensively. I mean, do we even trust Zeke? I mean, is Zeke going to go off on the Jaguars? This is going to be a big test for him, too, for this season. And, I mean, shit, who knows, the Jaguars might do it, because you know what? I just heard they recently signed the man, the myth, the legend, Jamaal Charles. He just might go off back in his Chief days. Who knows? This is a Cowboys defense that you are saying has been sneaking up. I still think they're trash. That's just me talking shit. Boo, frickity who. Anyways, I do like the Jaguars by 2, but yeah, it's definitely going to be way below 40. I'm calling fucking 13-12, honestly.
Yeah, I like the under in this game, no doubt about it. And the under has hit a total of 14 out of 17 times in games Dallas has played against an AFC opponent since the start of the 2014 season. So definitely take the under on the 40 points. And get this, the Dallas Cowboys are 7-17 against the spread at home when coming off a straight-up loss under head coach Jason Garrett. And hey, for going over all these Vegas numbers, the favorite to get fired first, Jason Garrett. Absolutely pitiful performance last week in overtime, not going for it on 4th-and-1. When you drafted a running back 4th overall and you have one of the highest paid offenses lines in the league, how do you not go for it on 4th-and-1? Man, oh man. But at the end of the day, we like the Jaguars to get the job done. And get this, the Jaguars coming into this one having gone 10-5 against the spread in its past 15 road games. So that's something that does translate is defense on the road. So we like the Jacksonville defense to put the clamps on Dak Prescott and get the win over the Dallas Cowboys by 2.5 points. Moving on to our next matchup of the week, it's another similar story where the over-under set at 41.5 points. Two pretty low-scoring games, the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans. Now, the Baltimore Ravens, you don't know what's going on with them this year. One week they take out the Steelers. Next week they lose to the Browns 12-9. The Tennessee Titans, they're right there too. We don't know if they're ever going to win a game. You don't know if they're ever going to lose a game. They're now sitting at 3-2. These are two 3-2 teams
where they could be 1-5. They could be 5-1. You just never know with these two teams, but the Ravens are favored by 3 points on the road. This is one of my toss-up games of the week. Alan, you look pretty excited when I bring up the over-under, so go ahead. Let me hear your thoughts first. What do you think about this matchup between the Ravens and the Titans?
Well, you know, the Titans, again, they're another team that I say, fuck you, because they, you know, they just can't cover a parlay for shit. Like, they were they were a solid lock, quoted by my father, Stephen Flores. That was funny as hell until all hell broke loose. Joe Flacco, he might have a hard time with his pass defense. You know, he's been doing okay. No, not okay. I'm just talking shit. I'm not going to lie. Joe Flacco has been kind of killing it. And this defense is kind of, you know, this guy, it's going to be a test for Flacco. I don't know. It's I don't know, Marcus. This is going to be this is my problem. They need to add John Brown into this role a lot bigger. You know, you can't just have him for little duckets and then bombs. You got to give him the ball. Let the man catch a ball. Let him eat.
Yeah, the Ravens got to figure out their offensive plan. They got to put up more than 9 points. I know this Browns defense has been improving, but we saw the Raiders put up 45 points on this same defense. This Ravens team, you saw how many points they put up on the Steelers earlier this year. John Brown, he's either hit or miss. Michael Crabtree had a chance at a game-winning touchdown last week, dropped the ball. I mean, these Ravens offense players need to figure it out. So do the Tennessee Titans. We've harped on Derrick Henry. Where the hell has he been this year? Marcus Mariota, he still hasn't thrown an interception in the red zone, but he's just not throwing too many touchdown passes in general. So I'm right there with Allen. This is a game that I probably want to stay away from. The Ravens and the Titans are two of the hardest teams to bet on, but if we got to bet because this is the Straight Cash Podcast, I might just have to take the Titans at home plus 3 points. I like the home dogs. It's hard to win on the road as it is in this league, and then especially giving up points. I'll go ahead and take the Titans, and the Titans are 18-2 against the spread when coming off a straight-up loss since the start of the 2016 season, and the Titans are 13-3 and 11-4 against the spread straight up at home over the past two calendar years. So this is a team in the Tennessee Titans that are a lot better at home than they are on the road. The Ravens struggled last week against the Browns. I might just have to take the Titans plus 3 points.
Yeah, if you want to hear something that probably make you feel better, Titans are third in points against. So, you know, again, this defense is kind of killing it. So if that helps you, just go ahead and take the Titans.
You heard the man. Go ahead and take the Titans. And then let's get to our final game of the week, because we already covered Monday Night Football with the Niners and Packers. Sunday Night Football, AFC Championship game preview. I know we might get the Steelers sneaking in there. Hell, at this point, we might get the Browns sneaking in there. Who knows what's going to hell happen. But the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots are no doubt about it. The two top teams in the AFC this year. Hell, Bill Belichick asked, does it feel like you're playing for the number one spot for the AFC? He said, no, it feels like we're playing the Chiefs. And that's exactly who Bill Belichick is. He got a big win last week against the Colts, 38-24, where Tom Brady threw his 500 touchdown pass to Josh Gordon. I mean, it's not fair giving a man like Tom Brady Josh Gordon. This is Randy Moss all over again. But this is definitely going to be a high-scoring, entertaining game. I believe this is the highest overscore of the week, set at 58.5 points. But I could see it happening. I could definitely see both these teams put up 30 points apiece. This Chiefs defense has been terrible. They're so beat up. They're still waiting for Eric Baird to come back. Hell, they've got a couple of slot wide receivers trying out at safety in practice. That's how beat up this defense is. But somehow, someway, they're still 5-0 this year. They're still 5-0 against the spread. They are the underdogs in this one, going into New England, taking on the Patriots. Patriots favored by 3.5 points. Man, this is a toss-up. This is one of those games where it might just be who has the ball last. I know I say that shit all the time, but who has the ball last? You might just want to protect yourself with the points. Chiefs plus 3.5. I'm still going back and forth. Al, what are your thoughts between the Chiefs and the Patriots, and what should be probably the highest scoring game of the weekend?
All right, people, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something here. Last year, as I recall, Chiefs went into New England and beat them. Am I correct?
Yes, very beginning of the season. I believe first game of the year.
Correct. Okay. Now, let's think about that. Who was the quarterback? Alex Smith. Not a bad quarterback, but look at who they have now. Showtime Mahomes. This is going to be a shootout for sure. I will take this 58.5. Tom Brady, you know, Jesus Christ, watching him play against the Colts, you know, I know the Colts defense was hurt and they're not even good to begin with, but he just looks like he doesn't lose a step. He just got Edelman back too. He's going to be working his way back. Like you said, they got Josh Gordon, Randy Moss all over again. I love it, by the way. But this will be a game the Chiefs are going to take on and they're going to take over. I like Showtime Mahomes throwing two tugs to Sammy Watkins and two tugs to Tyreek Hill. That's how it's going to be. Kelce might get 100 yards, but no TD, okay? I'm sorry. I don't think he's going to be a touchdown machine. I am taking the Chiefs. Take the over. Take everything. This is going to be a fucking shootout for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It should be a shootout. Allen said, high power offense with the Chiefs, named off a few players with Edelman and Josh Gordon. Get it going with the Patriots now. And now the Patriots have a run game. They got Sony Michel, the rookie out of Georgia. He's rushed for over 100 yards in two straight games. That's scary to think about. Tom Brady finally has a running back, a first-round running back that they actually spent some draft capital on, and now this offense is looking better than ever. They are favored by 3.5 points. The New England Patriots are 9-1 against the spread as home favorites of 7 points or fewer since the start of the 2016 season. I mean, on my paper, I got my little check mark next to the Chiefs, but something's telling me Tom Brady is going to pull off the upset, even though he's the favorite. But Showtime at home right now is the talk of the NFL. Everybody can't get off this guy's nuts. But preseason, he was throwing 5-6 picks of practice. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to expect. Like I said, I put the check mark next to the Chiefs, but I might have to flip on a spot. I might have to take the Patriots. Hell, at this point in 2017, the Chiefs were 5-0 and lost 6 of 7 games. We've seen the Chiefs collapse. We've seen the Chiefs the last 4 or 5 years start off the year 4-1, 5-0, 6-0. How many playoff games have they won in any of those past 4 or 5 years, Alan? I'll answer for you. The answer is zero. Zero wins. And Andy Reid, he's a great coach scheme-wise, no doubt about it, but he has fucked up with game time, game management, and you can't have no mistakes against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Check. So, hey, it hates me to do it. I hate both these fucking teams, but I'm going with Tom Brady for the win at home, -3.5 points.
I gotta say, man, that was a beautiful observation. Like, that was a great, valid point. I totally forgot how the Chiefs start out strong and end weak, but it's the New England Patriots. You know me. Fuck Brady. Fuck Gronk. Fuck the Patriots, okay? I got no beef against the Chiefs, you know, whatever. But it's still going to be a shootout, and I'm still taking the Chiefs. You can flip it all you want, Mark. You can do it all you want. Like you said before, agree to disagree, but fuck New England.
Hey, you don't got to tell me. That's something we can agree on. Fuck New England. Fuck the Chiefs. Fuck everybody else in the AFC. I mean, this is Raiders Steelers over here on this podcast, I'm telling you. But one thing we do agree on is the over. We both say, hey, 58 points, we'll take it. Two of the most high-scoring offenses in the league. There should be a high-scoring game, and it should be a shootout, no doubt about it. And that is every game from Week 6 of the 2018 season right here on the Bay's Golden Days Straight Cash Homie Podcast. That's what it is, and that's what it's going to be every single week right here, breaking down every single game against the point spread, give you the over under, give you the money line, everything you need right here on the Bay's Golden Days Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, social media, whatever the hell people use on their iPhones these days, at Bay's Golden Days. Check out our website, BGD Sports, to get the instant podcast. It's the fastest way you can get all the news for the newest podcast. Hell, I'm coming out with the UFC 229 aftermath. I told you fuckers, don't be surprised. Habib Nurmagomedov bringing the belt back to San Jose, California, baby. But we got it all. I'll be back next week with the Raiders Recap Podcast. And, of course, me and Alan will be back again for another Straight Cash Podcast for Week 7 before we hit Reno and put some real straight cash on the motherfucking line, baby.
Get that fucking money. Let's go.
That's what it is. Thank you again for downloading, subscribing, iTunes, Google Play, anything you use to listen to this podcast. Keep on listening. Keep on rocking with us. And until next time, you know what it is, baby. It's golden.
Golden. Golden. Golden.
Steady gold, pony boy.